Blog Talk Radio.
Africa on the Moon. As your host, Brother Africa, always an honor and privilege to come to your home this evening to speak truth to power. And we have an open topic right now. We can bring in two our participants. We're just testing, trying to figure out this technology. We first bring in Brother Haki, Welcome to Africa on the Move, Brother Haki.
Thanks for having me, brother. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Then we bring in Brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, and then bring in Brother X. Welcome to Africa on the Move, Brother X. Do we have Brother X with us? Brother 4428, Brother X? He says I'm 4428, Brother X. I think we have some technical difficulties with 4442. We'll come back to him. Right now, what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break and we'll come. That's right. No matter your nationality, you have the identity of an African. We welcome you back to Africa on the Move. We're doing a special program today titled Testing New Technology. We're testing and we're going to have just some open discussions. If you have any topics or any ideas or things going on, we'd like to hear from you. And you can do that by calling 323-679-0841. So let's talk about this whole question of technology. Brother Haki, where is technology going today? Give me your perspective, the good and the bad of new technology, Brother Haki.
Well, I think to some extent technology is the natural evolution, of a couple of factors. One, I think, economics. I think that's one of the driving forces behind technology. I think, in addition to, I think the question in terms of just, human evolution plays a role in terms of the evolution of technology. So I think those two factors together sort of drive technology. And of course, the question is whether or not if technology can be used for good or bad. And it seems to me that clearly, like any technology, it seems to me that, it could be used for both good and bad. Unfortunately, in the context of its current capitalist system, technology has turned to have the overwhelming for benefit, for lack of a better term, of being counterproductive in terms of the advancement of human society. So technology, even though it's inevitable, I think that the way it's used currently sets a very negative, very bad precedent.
Okay. Let's go to Brother Moses. Brother Moses, from your perspective, where are we going today as it relates to new technology? What is your take on this issue of new technology? Is it always good for the people or not?
Well, I think it was Huey Newton who said, in this highly technical society, we should have something like the best that the society can offer or something. So technology is constantly advancing. I mean, the machinery, the mechanisms of commerce and computers and everything is just telephones are advancing. And, now you really don't need a personal computer. You've got your telephone. You can get your emails and whatever. And so, but it's a question of, technology should be used in the interest of the masses of the people. And, you know, we live in a capitalist society, and obviously with each advancement of technology, there is a tendency to enrich somebody. Somebody's getting rich off the masses of people. I'm thinking about now, for instance, we got this AstraZeneca and Medico or something, I don't know, Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson, all these highly sophisticated technological advancements in medicine and chemistry. And the question is, should this intellectual property be free-flowing so that the world can get in production these viruses, these vaccines? And I think, you know, that this kind of technology should, at some point, we should recognize that there's a pandemic and that it's in the interest of humanity to solve this problem, and that all humanity should be in the battle to solve the problem. And that means, you know, intellectual property at that level should be free-flowing. I don't know. I don't want to carry on. I'll leave it right there. Thank you.
Okay. You listen to Africa on the Move, a special edition. We're doing today on the 20th of March. We're featuring the theme, Testing New Technology. What we want to do is, at this point in time, if you can bring in a caller at 4428. We're going to ask that caller, the last four numbers, 4428, what is their perspective on this concept of new technology? Is it good for the people today? Caller 4428, what is your perspective on this new technology?
Well, one observation that I'm making is that our lives, every second, every action, every thought is something that we're looking to capture through data and then analyze that data to be predictive. When you look at artificial intelligence and algorithms, they're trying to make everything an algorithm to where they can automate, predict, and simulate human thought, human emotion, human behavior. So that's a slippery slope that we're approaching as we look at how we're advancing in technology. And then, you know, there are those who are looking to quickly merge man and machine as we move into the future. So the whole concept of AI and what we're told are the goals and what may be the extended goals are something that we got to pay attention, particularly over like the next decade with technology.
Carla, you mentioned the thing, algorithm. For our listening audience, it may not be technical and may not follow the different innovations that are taking place in technology. What is algorithm? How do those things work when it comes to human development and tracking people?
Well, I mean, an algorithm is simply logic. You're taking a group of data and you're saying that if this happens or if a sequence of events happens, then this is what we want to happen if those events happen. So it's all about logic and looking at the sequencing of what data tells us is occurring, and then you're either telling it what to do, or you're using your data to predict what you think will happen next. So it's all about the logic of how things occur.
Okay. We have a listening audience who been listening in. We're going to go to the caller. Your last four numbers are 2693. We'd like to hear your thoughts, caller 2693. What do you think about new technology today? Is it good or bad for this society? Caller 2693, what's your thoughts? Caller, can you hear us? 2693, we'd like to hear your views on new technology today. Is it good or bad? Okay, I think that caller just may want to listen. What we're going to do, Brother Haki, we'll come to you. Last caller said something about technology being able to be used to create a new vehicle, head human, head man. Is that really possible, or is that what they're trying to do today?
Yeah, with the latest advancement in terms of artificial intelligence, you know, it's not inconceivable that that's possible. One of the things we talked about recently, we talked about the fact they were able to bring back, I forgot the particular animal it was, but they were able to bring it back from extinction, utilizing, you know, old DNA they had access to. So the possibility in terms of utilizing, you know, computerized technology in terms of achieving that end is, of course, very, very possible. Because one of the very dangers when you talk about, you know, a capitalist mindset, one of the problems is that this question in terms of expansionism becomes extremely important. In other words, in order to maintain hegemony, in order to maintain control of the world, then the more you're proficient in terms of reducing individuals who are a not in the truest sense human, but in a sense able to carry out the will of those who create them, then certainly there's a strong motive in terms of those positions of power to create such individuals. And so we shouldn't be surprised that when we talk about in terms of, DARPA, we talk about defense intelligence, and we talk about kind of projects that we're engaged in, then clearly, you know, this issue in terms of the possibility in terms of creating cyborgs, for lack of a better term, is something that we have to be very, very concerned about. And if we keep in mind, one of the problems, and we talk about the advancement of technology, one of the problems is that you're talking about essentially, you're talking about, you know, technology minus consciousness. So unfortunately, in the context of capitalist society, people tend to operate on an unconscious level. And so therefore, the relationship between, or that interaction or that connection between all things is severed. So people don't have a distinct understanding in terms of the connectivity of all things. And so we seem to see things as in a very compartmentalized perception. And as such, because we see things as unique and separate, then it's very easy to create engage in those kind of technologies that are counterproductive to human beings in the long run. So if you can create those, these half human, half robotic individuals, and they serve the interests of the powerful, then we certainly can reason that they would certainly support such a move. And certainly, when you look at DARPA in terms of the kind of expenditures we're talking about, when we talk about hundreds of billions of dollars a year, specifically in terms of technological advancements, particularly when it comes to artificial intelligence, then we shouldn't be surprised that at some point in history, you're going to find the likelihood that you will find such individuals being innovative in terms of this cyborg personality that the brother alluded to earlier.
On that note, you listen to a special edition of Africa on the Move, a theme of testing new technology. What we're going to do right now, we're going to pause for the call. So when we come back, we'd like to pose this question to our listening audience. When we talk about new technology, is there something going on today with this coronavirus in terms of it being used as a new form of technology or medicine and having a better understanding of the human body? We'd like to have your thoughts on that when we come back. This is Africa on the Move.
So vast, so great, the African embrace.
When you give up yourself.
The color of life. Universal harmony. The earth supports our conscious effort for sustained humanity.
Uplifting together in our strength.
Human beings. human love on a spiritual tip. So vast, so great, the African embrace. Live beyond, love beyond your skin to where you belong.
Short one, but it's an important one, calling testing technology. While we're talking about this thing, this is exactly what we're doing with this program. We're testing this technology because we've been having issues with it, and we're trying to resolve this particular question. So on that break, we're talking about technology and what's in that. If you look at what's going on with this pandemic, dealing with the virus, many people have been publishing and talking about this whole virus thing, corona thing, the whole thing of testing new technology. Like for many injections people are getting, they talk about using medicines for injection where they can put information inside the human body. They talk about nanosuckers and stuff where they can study the organs of the human body and do all kind of crazy things. So I'm just curious, what do y'all think about what's going on today? Is this a live world experiment of trying to get a better understanding of the population and how to control human beings? We start back with you again, Brother Hockey.
Yeah, what's your question, brother?
In terms of this question of the pandemic, many people believe that what's going on now is a large human experiment or human beings on a global basis in terms of tech and technology and the kind of vaccine they're injecting people with to do different things in the human body. Many believe that it may cause or contribute to millions of lost lives. So I'm just wondering, what is your take on this pandemic? Is it possible it all be a large human experiment on human beings to find out various things about the human body?
You know, brother, I've always, you know, based upon my understanding in terms of what has transpired in relationship to this particular COVID-19, one of the things that's been very problematic for me and one of the things that the media refuses to talk about, when we talk about the evolution of COVID-19, it's very, very interesting that virus, this COVID-19 virus, existed long before Wuhan, China. As a matter of fact, there were three countries in which the virus existed in which nobody ever talked about, the U.S., the U.K., and New Zealand. I'm sorry, U.S., U.K., and Canada. So the mere fact that these viruses preceded what happened in Wuhan, China, supposedly what happened in Wuhan, China, raises questions in terms about the origin of the particular virus. And one of the things we cannot discount when we talk about viruses, we talk about AIDS, we talk about HIV, and all we talk about all these viruses manifesting the globe. One of the things we can't discount is the role that the U.S. intelligence has played in terms of facilitating a lot of these things. There's a very interesting book called Germs by Judah Miller. And so anybody interested in learning more about that can read that book. And she lays out the history in terms of leading scientists in terms of the role they play in terms of fermenting viruses throughout the world. Clearly, one of the names that comes up a lot is this guy out of South Africa who was a cardiologist. And I came to call his name offhand. Anyway, he was a cardiologist. And also was Raymond Ziegler. Zelensky, who was a biochemist out of the U.S., instrumental in terms of what we know today as AIDS, in terms of facilitating that virus. So clearly, there was a lot of collusion when we talk about viruses, and we shouldn't automatically conclude that what we hear on radio or the media is actually the truth. And in terms of COVID-19, in terms of the impact, in terms of being able to monitor what's going on in the body, to actually impact on the various biological functions that the body performs. One of the things that's very interesting is that, the utilization of nanotechnology. And one of the things that's very, very interesting, the mere fact that no one ever talked about nanotechnology in terms of using it in terms of disseminate or to inject this virus, this cold, this vaccine into the body of human beings. There's numerous reports in terms of people actually dying or people getting sick or having these ailments that they never had before. Once they took the vaccine, then all these problems kind of manifest themselves. And the question is, no one wants to answer the question whether or not these nanotechnology is in part responsible for the kind of ailments, kind of death that we're seeing in terms of relationship to these vaccines. One of the things that's very clear, there are many scientists who are adamantly opposed to these COVID-19 vaccines for the simple reality that a lot of these vaccines are detrimental to the human immune system. And so therefore they advise people not to take COVID-19 in particular because it's so with nanotechnology. And one thing the scientists are very, very clear on, and when they talk about this whole nanotechnology, and we talk about the propensity for these pieces of this technology to break off the human body and to create all kinds of problems for the human body, I think that's something that the media has yet to even to delve into, and they need to talk about that. Clearly, when you talk about the free radicals in the human body, you talk about those things that impact the ability of the human body to fight against infection. Clearly, when you talk about breaking off of these nanoparticles in terms of their ability, to operate as free radicals, you actually destroy the ability of the human body to function. And that's something that all of us should be concerned about. And the mere fact that the media refuses to talk about it raises questions, at least in my mind, raises some alarms in terms of what's really going on here. So to answer your question, brother, to simply believe everything they put out there in terms of the media, which is controlled by very powerful, very wealthy individuals, I might add, there's only three corporations that control all the news in the world. And the mere fact that they have an enormous amount of power, so the ability to persuade, to actually condition people to believe certain things is very, very probable. And so in understanding that, then, certain things that happen in society, it's come upon us to ask the question in terms of, wait a minute, something doesn't quite right here. And to raise the history, And to expect media to provide at least some answers in terms of his concerns. But the mere fact they've been very silent on nanotechnology, the deaths of human beings taking these vaccines, speaks volumes in terms of possible complicity in terms of, knowing that human beings are simply being used as experiments in terms of better perfecting, nanotechnology for the future in terms of being perhaps creating a better soldier. So clearly, for me, it's all very suspicious. I'm all very suspicious.
Brother Haki, before we go to Brother Moses, can you explain to the general, for the listening audience, when we said nanotechnology, what are we talking about? what that really means in layman terms.
All we're talking about when we talk about nanotechnology, essentially what we're talking about, we're talking about minute robots. That's all we're talking about. That operate on a minuscule scale. And so we're talking about these little things that essentially programmed in terms of carrying out the will of those individuals, you know, who create the nanotechnology. So essentially, that's what we're talking about. So we're talking about these minute little things that actually operate like machines. That's all we're talking about. You can feedback,
okay.
brother.
Get some feedback, remember?
Yes.
You said, Brother Hackey?
You're getting feedback.
Okay,
you're getting feedback.
Okay, to our listening audience, if you hearing any kind of feedback, bear with us. Again, one of the reasons why we've been doing this program is trying to figure out what's going on with this technology. So just be patient, bear with us, and we are aware of it, but we're not quite sure how to correct this, so it's a struggle, so bear with us. So on that note, what we're going to do right now is to go to Brother Moses, and we're going to pose this question to Brother Moses, and we want to get his thoughts. Brother Moses, one of the things about these new technologies is that they have certain things in common. One day, most of these new technologies have some kind of relationship to surveillance and tracking. What you think about that, Brother Moses? Is that good technology?
Well, in terms of tracking, I don't know. I know in terms of the virus, it makes sense in terms of scientific situation, in terms of dealing with the virus. And I don't know, just tracking in general, I don't know that that's happening. The real issue is, where do correct ideas come from? I mean, like these ideas come from class struggle, the struggle for production and scientific experiment. And so, you know, that's just part of life. We don't want to abuse anybody or abuse the ethically scientific community. But, I just know that you know, sooner or later you have to make a decision about, based upon dialect and historical material, and hopefully a sober mind. And that I know I've gotten the first shot for this flu shot. I had a Pfizer shot, and you know, I'm trusting in the technology and the science, and taking this pandemic seriously. I'll leave it right there. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Moses. What we're going to do is go to caller 4428. And I would like everybody to weigh in as we talk about technology. Caller 4428, I would like for you to respond to this question of, we know Bill Melinda Gates has been for years advocating that there need to be a decrease of population. They advocate of population control, many would say eugenics. They have even purported that they need to eradicate billions of people. Now, the only way one may can conceive of getting rid of a billion people must be thinking in terms of some form of technology. So understanding that for some people there's an agenda to decrease the population as relates to technology. And I stated earlier, basically look at technology today. I know one thing they have in common is for surveillance and for tracking and, you know, for those purposes, if people have agenda or eliminate the large scale of people, we talk billions of people, should we trust this new technology being developed? If not, how do we fight against it to make sure technology is used for the interests of the people and not against the people? What would be your take, caller 4428?
Well, I think you're speaking about a really challenging position. You know, nanotechnology is hard to fully understand what you're dealing with because of the nature of the technology, being, you know, these micro robots that you can't see with the naked eye that can be activated and deactivated on command, that, you know, can have varying life cycles. So it's without having more folks who are in those fields, you know, and particularly in that niche area of technology, to explain to the masses what's going on, it's going to be a challenging road. You know, as you were talking earlier about nanotechnology, one example that I just recently saw this past week, they've developed a nanobot that can go and retrieve one sperm cell and deliver that sperm to an egg. Understanding how small sperm are, and that there is this robot that is designed specifically for that task, that is an example of how difficult it will be to understand the technology before it affects us. And because we don't fight as many physical wars, it very well may be that the biological war will be the next great method of population control.
Interesting, the caller raised the issue of biological warfare as new form of weapon control. Banaki, what do you make of the change of war form from going physical confrontation to biological confrontation, chemical confrontation as a form of warfare? Is this what's happening today?
You know, one of the things, you know, we cannot discount. You got feedback again, Brother Africa.
Okay.
One of the things we cannot discount is that, you know, the current capitalist economic model is under threat. And one of the things, there's a certain amount of resistance to change, particularly when that change means a reduction in power. And so therefore, in that sense, then we got to understand the people who run the society, the people who benefit from society, have a vested interest in doing all they can to preserve their power. And if that means eliminating large number of people around the world, but make it more manageable in terms of maintenance of power, then that's precisely what they do. And so we can't discount anything, whether we talk about utilizing wars, or whether we talk about creating conditions of famine or whatever, or even biotechnology in terms for the sole purpose in terms of eliminating people that they are perceived as frivolous. Then no one can be surprised, you know, that people in position of power will actually utilize the technology for that purpose. And this is a real danger, because earlier I talked about the lack of consciousness. You know, when we talk about this relationship that exists among all things, increasingly that understanding in terms of our relationship between all with all things is actually becoming less and less. And the capitalists have made a conscientious decision to make sure that people don't understand or think about the connection between all things. In that context, once you get people, you know, thinking in terms of compartmentalized kinds of ways, then people don't necessarily see a connection between all things. And if they don't see a connection between all things, then the kind of abuse inflicted upon others is not seen as an attack on all. And so therefore, the people in positions of power want to create that mindset. And so therefore, it gives them some cover in terms of being able to create technology for the sole purpose of eliminating large number of people in the world. And we can't discount that. That's a very, very real reality. And one of the things, when you talk about nanotechnology, and you're talking just because, like the brother said, one of the problems is that, you know, this stuff exists on a scale in which is, for a lot of us, unimaginable. For us to conceive this idea in terms of someone being able to go to a laboratory and create these micro robots, for a lot of people, it's incomprehensible. And you tell them that, they probably think that you're crazy, because for them, that's inconceivable. But clearly, they have the technology to do all of that. And you know, one of the things is that you know, with that lack of consciousness come all kinds of abuse. And because you know, and because of that lack of consciousness that exists in society, anything is fair game. Anything is possible. So the mere fact that when scientists say that, you know, taking these COVID-19 vaccines may contribute to your, a weakened immune system, no one can simply say, yeah, you're talking nonsense, because the reality is that when you look in terms of the pervasive nature of this tendency to want to control, which is so deeply rooted in capitalism, that one of the things you got to you have to acknowledge on some level that it possibly exists that if this technology is going to enable them to maintain their power, then they will utilize it for the sole purpose in terms of reducing numbers on this planet, or to make, at least at the very minimum, make it impossible for people to have children or whatever. So clearly, I think that you know, we cannot discount the possibility that biotechnology is the next form of warfare being inflicted on the masses of people, you know, not just in the United States, but throughout the world.
You listen to Africa on the Move. We're going to pause for the call. When we come back, we have some closing comments on the theme tonight, testing new technology. This is Africa on the Move.
If you think of the Middle East in this modern time, you can't help but say the word Palestine. People there have lost their land. Some have lost their home. They live in other countries, their freedom almost gone. Palestine needs her freedom. Palestine needs our love, needs our love. Palestine needs her freedom. Palestine needs our love. There seems to be no answer to give us the reason why people cannot live, so no one has to die. We've got to take a stand for freedom, take a stand for truth, take a stand for justice. That's what we've got to do, 'cause Palestine needs her freedom. Palestine needs our love, needs our love. Palestine, Palestine needs her freedom. Palestine needs our love. People of all countries, of every race and creed, we need a new beginning. Let us plant the seed. Plant.
In chains, living in pain, today is the same, and nothing ever changes. Hung by a noose, can't tell the truth, filled with abuse, and everywhere there's danger. How long can this go on? When will the light I see? I know I must be strong to last through my journey, yes, to last through my journey, yes. Time will arrive when we must decide to get off the ride and stop going through these changes. Must prepare and learn how to care, for soon we'll be there where our lives won't be in danger. when the light is clear, oh, how beautiful I will be to know that I've been here and made it through my journey, yeah, and made it through my journey, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Made it through my journey. Made it through my journey.
Pellerino. A bloodline across the waters from Benin to Salvador Bahia. A scar across the face of the earth. Pellerino. The place they brought the Africans, the place where they tried to make them slaves. Pellerino! You can feel the whip, hear the cries, and see the blood in the red clay. The clay that holds the stones together is African. And each stone is a bone from a people called slaves. Pellerino is the place where death came to dwell. His neighbors did not complain, for he was a way out. From the cold gray cobblestone streets to the lifeless cathedrals, tall walls of demons called angels, haunted visions of white faces crucifying Jesus again and again. But in the sacrifice of this blood, of this dance with death, comes life more rich, more pure, more alive, where death spent many lonely nights pacing the floors of his funeral parlor, waiting for someone to die. Pellerino, a French word called the place of torture, became a place of strength, a place where faces of white saints became faces of black gods, where haunted visions and demons became healing visionaries and orishas from the motherland. And Jesus rejoined his kinfolk and was reborn and baptized in the sound of sensual skin turned up to dance, to inspire a fire like the sun, pronouncing his presence. Pellerino is the tongue of the flame, licking the eyes of those who have tried to remain blind, shining a light on a spirit that would not be denied. No, the chains did not break the spirit, did not enslave the music of my soul, did not shackle the will of my freedom, did not tarnish the glow of my gold. And all the Pellerinos in Africa, in Europe, in North and South America cannot destroy the majesty of my people, the love of my people, shining like the sun everywhere we go, everywhere we go. When the light is clear, oh, how beautiful I will be. Know that I've been here and made it through my journey, yeah, and made it through my journey, yeah, 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 yeah.
Welcome you back to Africa on the Move. This is a special edition, and we're testing new technology. That's the theme. While we're talking about the theme, at the same time, we're living it. We're testing this new technology to see how we can better improve it. We come to a close in this program. We would like to have some final thoughts, but in terms of having some final thoughts, one of the things I would like to raise for all my panelists to get their final thought is on this take as it comes to technology. Again, technology can be used as a tool to be for the people, against the people. But there seems to be a big lack of gap when it comes to African people not having access or being in the technology industry. Panelists, if we're going to fight our enemy, we too must develop technology that will counter their technology. What can be done to encourage our people to understand the importance of technology and start taking the discipline of science more seriously, in terms of being able to create a future where our people also will be tech savvy? Brother Haki, start off first.
How do we get the message that people understand the importance of technology? You got feedback, brother. You got feedback again, brother.
Feedback? Okay, let's try this. Go ahead and talk, brother. Keep talking.
All right, it's going. All right, so, I think that is a quintessential question. I think one of the problems is that, you know, our children are inundated with, social media and all kinds of things on television will suggest that fulfillment of, you know, of lively endeavors should center around sports, entertainment, and those kind of things. And one of the things that we have to do as a community, we have to create some institutions to sort of counter that message. Because the people in positions of power understand how palpable that message is in terms of, you know, marketing, you know, sports and entertainment to our youth. And so, therefore, too many of our youth want to be, you know, great basketball players, great actresses, great singers, and so forth and so on. Something wrong with that in terms of the creative aspect. You need the art. I mean, art is a big part of life, and you need that. But there's an over-reliance, over-abundance in terms of, you know, justification for such a thing. So I think that we have to, the question becomes, you know, how do we get our people to understand the seriousness of this? And because if we create the conditions and we suggest that technology is important, the children will get it. But it's important that we create those conditions. And so the struggle for us is a question of class. Because clearly those people in the African community who have access to a little wealth or who are doing okay don't necessarily subscribe to the notion in terms of, you know, creating conditions which benefit overall beneficial to the masses of all African children. And I think they're more inclined to make sure the children get what they need at the expense of all others. So we have to create a mindset, we create institutions in the community will sort of supersede that mindset to say that all the children, irrespective of the economics, irrespective of the class standing, they must understand the importance of technology and begin to create those conditions to sort of reinforce that idea that technology is key. Because one of the things that, you know, kids, you know, one thing that, you know, African children are very, very good in terms of technology until they get around by the age of 12. At that point, there comes this disconnect in which kids are no longer interested in terms of technology. And a lot of that has to do with social conditioning. So it's coming upon us to create conditions to fight that social conditioning to tell our children that technology is not important for them, that technology is for other people, it's not for us. So a lot of that is going to involve our children understanding our history and understanding our scientific contributions to the world. Nobody's going to teach our children that. We must teach our children that. And that, in addition to creating the conditions in our society, we say that technology is important, the children will get it. But it's incumbent upon us, you know, to have that discourse, to have that struggle around why we have to create the condition which says that technology is extremely important. And that, of course, my brother, is a challenge.
Thank you, Brother Hakeem. Good Brother Moses. What can we do to increase our understanding of the importance of technology? And how can we get our people more involved so we can create technology to fight against the enemy technology that is being used against us? What's your thoughts on that, Brother Moses?
Yeah. Well, we must struggle on all fronts. You got a feedback?
Okay, go ahead, brother. Speak on.
We must struggle on all fronts. The political struggle for state power, the economic struggle for better conditions, especially the unions, and a theoretical struggle as to the correct interpretation of our past leaders and the correct assessment of where we are and where we need to go. In order to triumph, we must study and practice dialectical and historical materialism, for the dialectical relationship between ideas and practice will develop us as revolutionaries just as it developed Che and Fidel. By assessing the real needs of real people struggling in society, we will develop a program of action that we can all agree on and rally around. The correctness or incorrectness of our ideological and political line will be proven in the struggle to obtain real gains for the working class, and in this struggle, as always, we will gain friends and make enemies. Who are our friends and who are our enemies is the critical line when trying to make a revolution. Our answers to these questions separate us from Democrats, Republicans, and would-be socialists. We must keep politics in command, rely on our line to win over the workers. Needless to say, we must continue to explain the contradiction between profit-driven capitalist system and the planned production of socialism. If we can't plan a single country, then how can we plan the world? And so I'm saying we need to study, and pick these issues up. This COVID-19 is a real issue, and we need to understand it for what it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Moses. And we'll go to caller 424-428. Your thoughts on this whole question of how do we get our people involved in science and the need to develop their own technology in defense of the people. Your thoughts, caller 424-428.
I really want to say ditto because I think it's been spoken. When you originally threw the question out there, the song by Nasir Jones, Nas, that came to mind, where he says, I know I can't be what I want to be. And thinking about the lyrics and the imagery of that video, speaking about how so much of the foundational knowledge, well, everything was born in Africa. You know, our children, mathematics is seen as intimidating by a lot of our children, and all technology at its core, at its scientific and logic core, is math being applied to a technology with just using equipment. So helping our children to understand that this thing that you're learning was the same thing that we created. So then you is the ability to master and advance this science, this concept, this math, and then building this momentum to where they continue to develop on it. And Brother Hike, he said, you know, at age 12, they kind of fall off with their interest. Somehow we have to flip that to where 12 is where really they hit like a new level of interest, because, you know, looking at a lot of our tech moguls and these folks, by 16 to 18 is where they're making groundbreaking discoveries in technology, or at least we're told. So between 12 to 16, we got to figure out ways to really help them to cultivate and think outside the box and just kind of explore technology more to where they're trying to build. You like using that phone, or you like using that game. Well, we need you to create the next one. We need you to want to dig a little deeper to figure out how this thing functions so that it can be of a benefit to your people and to humanity. So I think that starts with getting over that intimidation when it comes to the mathematics and the science of math, and then figuring out how to cultivate their interest to stick it out and pursue the science of technology more in their own teen years.
All of your point is well said. To our panelists, all your points are well said. This is a special edition of Africa on the Move. We are testing technology. And speaking to the theme, testing technology, we want to be conscious that when we test technology, we don't want technology testing us. We must be careful and understand that all tools can be used positively or negatively. But when we use these tools and become counteractive toward the development of a human being, then I think we must ask the question, should we bring this technology in existence? That's a question we must not only investigate, but a question that we must address. Because at this point in time, human being seem to be in a very vulnerable position, where technology may overrun them and may eradicate billions of people in a short period of time. So this is just an idea again we want to put out to the community. Give you something to think about. All views and comments are welcome by contacting us at AfricaOnTheMove2@gmail.com. Remember, every Sunday evening from 7 to 9 p.m., you can hear Africa on the Move Eastern Time by dialing in at 323-679-0841 or going to Blog Talk Radio podcast and type in Africa on the Move. So until next time, we will continue to stay in the seat and take the heat. And as we define it, we stand behind it, and we will always speak truth to power. This has been a special program on the 20th of March, 2021, Testing Technology. So we hope to see everyone back tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. This has been Africa on the Move, and as we talk about testing technology, we want to know really what's going on.
Hey, what's up now?
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need delay. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Come on, talk to me.